Thank you, choir. Wasn't that marvelous? And the offertory. Wasn't that magnificent? And the quartet. I feel a little bit hurt that they didn't ask me to join them and make it a quintet, but I think I can get over it. But wasn't that a good, both songs, very good. And I just hope they'll sing again soon. Now open your Bible with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 10. I shall read down through verse number 18. This wonderful book from the pen of the Apostle Paul, describing for us the warfare, the battle. There are for us guidelines in these words to help us to know how to win the victory. And by the way, nobody's ever told you, you're in a war. This is not a picnic. This is a war of spiritual things in the spiritual realm. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse number 10, stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's word after we pray. I'll read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thank you, and you may be seated. On this Memorial Day or Memorial Day weekend, 1995, we of course honor the war dead all over America today and tomorrow. There will be memorial services for that purpose. Today we enjoy our freedom because someone else was willing to pay the price. Let us not forget that all the freedoms that we have came to us through a dear price, a sacrifice of someone's blood. The freedom of speech, the freedom of the ballot box, the freedom of assembly, the freedom of choice. And basic to all freedoms, and without this one, all other freedoms would be meaningless, the freedom of worship. We can come today without fear and worship God according to the way the Holy Spirit dictates to our hearts. Nobody can take that away from us. Now someday, God forbid, they may come in and confiscate all of our Bibles, but we have the Word of God in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. They may take the pulpit out or burn the building, but we have in our hearts the real substance. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever take for granted that you have a place to come to worship God. Don't ever take for granted that you have the freedom to express yourself to God the way that you want to do, and nobody can take that away from you. It's in your heart, and what's in your heart is there to stay. All of our freedoms came through a tremendous price. But wait. our freedom as Christians, as believers. And by the way, the Bible says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And that freedom, ladies and gentlemen, came at a tremendous sacrifice. Come with me in your mind this morning to the city of Jerusalem. And outside those walls, in yonder's place called Calvary, the place of a skull, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save you and to save me. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Don't forget that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, your salvation and mine came at a dear price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The Memorial Day that we honor our dead of our nation, we must never forget the price that was paid. I must remind you that in biblical terms, there are war memorials for us to celebrate and commemorate. And so I've entitled my message this morning, A Picture of a War Memorial. This picture has four sides to it. Side number one, I see a memorial to a faithful sentry guarding the treasure. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 14. A memorial to a faithful sentry guarding the treasure. Those of you who are in the armed forces or are now in the armed forces, you know the duty of the sentry is to stand guard over that which is precious, that which is absolutely essential and necessary for war. A memorial to a faithful sentry guarding the treasure. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse number 14, Paul says to young Timothy, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, the question arises, what is that good thing about which Paul writes in verse 14 when he says, keep or guard carefully? Put a garrison up to guard, to keep. It's the same word that's used that thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Thou shalt put a garrison of soldiers at his heart to guard the peace that God has given us. So he says, keep that good thing. Guard that good treasure. What is that good treasure? Why, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is the gospel of redeeming grace? What is the eternal gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read beginning at verse 1 and down through verse number 4. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now that word gospel means good news. There's good news. I remember back in the days of the war, when we were children growing up, we all gathered around the radio at night. You remember that? And listened to the news commentator. And there was one by the name of Gabriel Heater, I'll never forget. And when the Allies had scored a victory, Gabriel Heater would come on the network news and say, there's good news tonight. And then he'd tell us about how the Allied armies or the United States Army had won a victory, and it looked like that they'd soon be coming home, because the good news is the war is about to be over. I've got some good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ died for your soul. The good news is the gospel. Paul said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now here it is. Verse number 3. Here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. According to the Scriptures, he died. According to Isaiah 53, he died. Look at the next sentence. Paul says, and that he was buried in yonder's new-made tomb. They laid that body, that form of the Son of God. But look at the next part. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Psalm 16:10 says, I will not allow or suffer or permit your body to decay in the ground. I will raise it up. Speaking about the body of Jesus. The Holy One was raised from the dead. And that clinches it for us. That is the clincher. That he rose triumphantly over death. And said, because I live, you shall live also. That's the gospel. The death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. That's the treasure that we are guarding this morning as soldiers in the army of Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to show you that there's not but one gospel. Galatians chapter 1. I want to read verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. You listen as I read. Paul says in Galatians 1, 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Look at verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Did you know when a man stands in the pulpit and preaches anything but the Word of God, he's perverting the gospel? When he tries to tell us because of his scholarship and learning and all of the doctoral programs through which he has passed out and become a spiritual wimp, thinking he knows more than God knows, and he'll tell you there's no such thing as the virgin birth, it's a biological impossibility. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus was born of a virgin and God can perform that which seems impossible. Holy Ghost overshadowed that Mary, that young virgin. And the Holy Ghost conceived in her. And she brought forth a son. And they called his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. By the way, I heard of a preacher, a Methodist preacher. Any Methodists here this morning? I heard of a Methodist preacher that almost got fired because he stepped from behind the pulpit. I almost jumped into the choir. When I get excited, I'm like, look out, behold, I come quickly. At least I'd be scriptural. There's a verse that says, behold, I come quickly. But it's the virgin birth. When a preacher gets up and tells you, well, now there's no such thing as resurrection, you tell him that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, 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 never. The Greek says it 5 times. Never die. Telling you this morning that there's no other gospel. Don't try to pervert that which God has set in concrete. Paul says, but though we, look at verse 8, Galatians 1, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, Let him be accursed. Let the curse of God be upon those who preach any other gospel but the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul says, you Galatians are a little bit hard-headed. I'm going to tell you again. Look at verse 9. He says, I'm going to repeat it. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now that settles it as far as I'm concerned. One gospel, the gospel of redeeming grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Oh, and by the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 is a beautiful verse. I want you to look at it with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Watch this. But we have this treasure. Remember, we said the sentry is guarding the treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God put it in these old earthen jugs, these old vessels of clay, that all the glory and all the majesty and all the might and all the honor and all the power, we ascribe to Jesus Christ all riches and power and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. It all belongs to Him. So God entrusted us in these earthen vessels, a memorial to a faithful sentry guarding the treasure. Number two, this is aspect number two of this war memorial, a memorial to a young cadet in training for the conflict. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, a memorial to a young cadet in training for the conflict. Now watch this carefully. Uncle Sam does not take a man in, put a uniform on him, cut his hair, and send him out to combat. No, he has to get his training. Here's a young cadet in training. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul said, thou therefore, my son. Young men, listen to me. There's no greater credit in all the earth could be bestowed upon you, or honor bestowed upon you, but to be in, than to be in the army of Jesus Christ, in the service of the King. And I think I ought to tell you, the benefits are totally out of this world. My son, young cadet. Now look at chapter 3 of that same book, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 14, and down through verse number 17 as I read. A young cadet now in training for the conflict. He's been addressed as a son. Now 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now he got his learning in the training for conflict, for the battle out there. Don't forget, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now watch this carefully. From whom did Timothy learn? From the aged Apostle Paul. Young men, don't forget that your pastor has stood here week after week and given you instructions from the Word of God. Remember the one who has taught you, from whom you've learned these things, and not only from your pastor, but look at your parents and your grandparents. Verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You've known it from a child. You got it at your mother's knee. What a delight. What a blessing it is when I see young couples in the couples class. And I remember when they were in the kindergarten. And I remember when they stood on the platform and quoted the scriptures. I remember when they named all the books of the Bible when they were just in the kindergarten. And now I see them with kindergarten age children of their own and older. And I see them taking the same word that they were taught and passing it along to their children. What a marvelous picture. Second generation, third generation soon coming on. Isn't that marvelous? From a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, all Scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, mature, grown up, truly furnished unto all good works. The young cadet is in training today because he'll face the battle tomorrow. And listen to me, you get all the training you can, get all the Word of God you can today, because tomorrow the conflict arises. A memorial to the young cadet. Number three, a memorial to a seasoned soldier enduring the hardships of the battle. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We erect a memorial to a seasoned soldier. We've seen already the young cadet. We've seen the young sentry, and now we're going to look at the seasoned soldier enduring the hardship. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, for the crown, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now let's just take an example. Here's a young man that's been away in service. I am as certain as I'm standing here right now that the first night he wanted to come back home. Didn't he, Mother? Didn't he, Daddy? Where are you, Daddy? Didn't he? But you know, he was under restraint. I mean, they didn't have him locked up. But he was under governmental regulations. Son, you don't go home the first night. You don't entangle yourself with the affairs of world, of the other life. You're Uncle Sam's now. You belong to him. You're in a different compartment. You belong to Uncle Sam, and you got to abide by Uncle Sam's regulations. Now, the moment you got saved, devil came along that same night and said, now you need to go back to the beer joint. And some of you did. Hello. Some of you still are. And the devil said, go back to your gambling. And go back to your own way. But the Holy Spirit said, no, no, you belong to God. Your life is His. You're sold out. You can't go back and entangle yourself in the affairs of the world. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Now, I was just kidding. If that hit you a while ago, that's your problem, not mine. I have no idea whether you went to the beer joint last week or not, or whether you gambled at the table. I don't know, but if you did, you ought not to have. So I just thought I'd put it in just in case. Get back to the Word now. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Don't be involved in the affairs of the world. Please Him who called you to be a soldier. That's where it is, pleasing Him. Number four, let's build a memorial to a decorated veteran, reviewing his record and looking forward to his reward. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look with me at verse number 6. Beginning at verse number 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're building a memorial to a veteran who's looking back over his life reviewing his past, reviewing his record, and at the same time looking forward to his reward that soon will be his. Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Here's his record now. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now let me ask you, can you say with Paul, as you look back over your life as a Christian, can you say, "I've fought a good fight"? Can you say, "I finished my course that God gave me," or "I'm in the course that God has given me, and I will finish it at his time"? "I have kept the faith." Have you kept the faith with God, with your church, with your family? "I have kept the faith. Henceforth," now here's the reward, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Now watch it, because this is where you and I come in. "And not to me only," Paul says, "but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, who is Jesus going to give a reward to? To those who love his appearing. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for the return of the Son of God? Paul says, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. There's laid up for me, not just incidentally somewhere, but laid up, preserved for me, a crown which the Lord, the righteous judge, is going to give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." You know where Paul wrote this, by the way? He was in a Roman prison. These were the last words he wrote. And one day, he heard the clanging of the prison door. They brought him out of prison, took him out to the chop block. And cut his head off. And little did they know, before the blood stopped dripping from that Roman sword, Paul was already with the Lord. For he said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." He's gone home. Oh, thank God for that coming of our Lord Jesus. Thank God that when our loved ones leave us, we talk about losing our love. We don't really lose them. We just give them up for a little while, and they go to be with the Lord. I remember growing up in my dad's church. My daddy never had the opportunity to go to school. Never had a formal education. He used to joke and say, "I went to school 3 days, the teacher was sick two of those." So he never got a formal education. Never went to high school, never went through grade school, never went to college, never went to seminary. But I'm going to tell you something, he went to the closet and got with God. And when my old daddy stood up and opened the Bible, power of God came, souls came, people rejoiced, and people shouted. You know, we did it a little bit different back in those days. I have three people I remember especially in my dad's congregation. One of them was Pete Arnold. He's over 100 years old now, still alive. He'd get happy and start shouting, and then he'd start singing while he was shouting. Now, most people can't do two things at once, but this old brother could shout and sing at the same time. "My heavenly home is bright and fair. No pain nor death shall enter there. If you get there before I do, just look for me. I'm coming too." That's Pete Arnold. Then there was old lady Holly. God bless her, a widow of many years. She was as broad as she was tall. And then it didn't come up to the platform to sing. My daddy would say, "Sister Holly, why don't you just stand and sing us a song?" And she'd stand, get everything all straightened out. "My warfare soon be ended. My race is almost run. My warfare soon be ended, and I'm going home." That's Sister Holly. Then there was George Price, chief of police, mean. I mean, burly. Somebody you wouldn't want to meet out on the street if you'd done something wrong. Because that kind of a fellow. George Price had both legs amputated. They brought him in on a wheelchair. Brother George, why don't you sing us a song this morning, Brother George? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, I must fight if I would win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by your word. That is George Price. And then all the congregation would join. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. That's all I got. Let's stand, please, for our prayer. Every head is bowed. You don't have to wait till we announce a number and sing a song. If you need an altar, come on this morning while every head is bowed. Maybe some of you out there, the struggle and the battle and the heat of it, things aren't going as well as you'd like for them to go. Things are dark, dreary. You don't know how you're going to make it. Come this morning. Let God do something in your soul. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's a sin. Maybe there's a burden, a problem, a difficulty, a trial, a heartache. Something that's gotten hold of your life and you need to be free. Jesus can set you free. He can give you victory this morning. And you can sing, when the battle's over, we'll wear a crown. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning. Dear God, I wish I knew how to give an invitation. I really confess that I don't know how. But oh God, if you just come down this morning, speak to hearts. Move in our hearts and our lives today. There are soldiers in the conflict. They're about to lose the campaign. They're not going to lose the war, but they may lose a campaign today, tomorrow, lest the devil gets the upper hand of them. I pray that you would bring them today and refurbish and realign and reassign and re-empower and retrain and re-anoint and re-strengthen them right now in Jesus' name. Somebody who doesn't know the Savior, dear Lord, that needs to come and trust Him today. Somebody, Lord, that needs to join this great church, may they come today and be a part of it. May your will be done, in Jesus' name I pray. While our heads are still bowed, while the choir offers the invitation appeal and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, if there's a need, if there's a burden, if there's a problem, if there's a weakness, if there's a heartache, if there's a sin, if you're lost, if you need the church, if you need the Savior, if you need prayer, come on right now while we sing the first stanza. Come on while the Holy Spirit speaks. All to Jesus. God bless you. All to Jesus. God bless you. All to Him I freely give. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. I surrender all. Come on this morning and surrender all to Him. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender all. While we continue to sing and while the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, out of the choir, out of the congregation, come on this morning. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. Come on today while the Holy Spirit speaks. I surrender all. All to Jesus. All to Jesus. Come on today. Join the fellowship. Trust the Savior. Make a commitment in your life today. Come on now while He speaks. Come on now while the Holy Spirit speaks. We continue the hymn of invitation. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. All to Jesus I surrender. Come on today. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. Come on today. God help you, darling. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. God bless you, hon. Come on, sir. God bless you. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. I surrender all. I surrender all. God help you. Come on today while the Holy Spirit is speaking. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.